I'd like to open with a word of prayer. Our dear kind Father in heaven, your daughters have gathered together this weekend to come to know you better than they have ever known you before, to hear a word from you, a personal word, to speak to their heart and show them the way of their life with you from this day forward, at least for a season. We know that you have many assignments. You've put many skills into these daughters, and they have shown and shined forth this. We've only even touched on what is in your daughters. And thank you. Thank you for giving us this opportunity on this sacred day to praise your name and to say, yes, Lord, I want to do more. I want to walk with you each and every day. I want to be everything that you want me to be. And so, Father, we give you ourselves, and make of us what you would do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. The Lord said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And he does not want any of his daughters to feel the stress of the world and to feel overwhelmed and to feel like it's too much. When we watch the news, I'm there about every other day because there's more and more that said that I think, how can this get any worse? And it does. Every day, something else tells me it's getting worse. So what we're walking into is not going to be a cakewalk. But our God is with us, and our God is powerful in us. And we know we've heard today and yesterday who we are in God. And we have nothing to fear. We are the Lucys of this generation. Amen. Are we not? Amen. We are the Lucys of this generation. And as scary as that looks to me when I know my infirmities and my weaknesses and all of that, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how I look at myself and how weak I am or tired I am or anything like that. It just does not matter. And I have great news for you daughters. God has given us some really fun, easy, powerful ways to transform ourselves, our families, and our neighbors, and the whole community. And this city will not fall.
No, ma'am.
Because his daughters are waking up every morning, and you know what? Satan is saying, oh, no. Uh-oh.
My threat's here.
My threat's here. Because we're awake. Not just, you know, it's Joyce Myers who kind of said that when she wakes up in the morning, she wants the enemy to say, oh, no, she's awake. Well, there's more than one daughter who wakes up every morning, right? So, I'd like to share with you a book that really is life transforming, has been for many people. There is a woman in Austin, Texas, who had experiences with she had experiences in her young life when she was in college. She traveled in Europe, and she noticed something about the people there, that they love to get together and just connect over a meal. And she loved that because they took time. They were Europeans are kind of slow. They take their afternoon naps and then they reboot for some evening work, And they don't go to bed till 11 o'clock at night. They have a whole different kind of time system than we do. And so they linger over a meal. They'll spend an hour and a half, 2 hours just sitting over and relationally connecting with their family and friends. She saw that. She witnessed it, and she wanted that. And when she gets back to the States, it's not there because we live really busy lives with lots of stuff in it. And so she moved into a neighborhood that was where the house she bought was from a family who orchestrated what they call a cove party. It was a cul-de-sac party, a block party. And the woman said, "Please, please, please, when you please keep the block party going." And so she did. And she loved that. And they had bouncy houses, and they brought out the grills, and they just had a great big, big bash. But it was 12 months between that. And she says after a while that was really great. But she says, I didn't know who my neighbors were, if it was the Garys or the Whitneys, three doors down from me, with a house with the yellow shutters. And that grieved her. She wanted to connect more with her neighbors. So she was having a backyard barbecue, and she ordered a picnic table. And when she got that picnic table, she knew what she was going to do with that picnic table afterwards. And that was she painted it her favorite color, which was turquoise, and she put it in her front yard. And she wondered, she says, "God," she says, "what's going to happen with it?" She says, the very first day, she says, a neighbor walked by and they connected. And she did her computer work out there. They ate, they had family meals out there. Her kids did homework out there. I assume that it was that she lived in Austin, so it's a little bit, their summer season was longer than ours. And so she just lived life in her front yard. And she says, they didn't have to see my dusty tables. They didn't have to see my dirty dishes in the kitchen sink. I could just fix some coffee and take it out there and some cookies, and it was very, very simple. So I recommend this book because this is an awesome, awesome tool to use in outreach. And they became known as front yard people. And now there are turquoise tables. She has a website. There are turquoise tables in every state and 11 countries now. And it's all about, it says, finding community and connection in your own front yard. So that is, this is one major, and it is fun. And it is powerful, powerful ministry. Because what I've learned with my life is that the things that I think are my ideas are actually His Spirit speaking to me and making and having me do what I think is my own whim or my own desire. And it's not His, it's not mine at all. So many of us women, we already walk in the Spirit of God in just our daily lives. And so I have another book here that is written by Jimmy Allen. He says, a platinum-selling country music artist. He wrote a book, and this is a copy out of the library that I got. It says, My Voice is a Trumpet. Oh, cool. And it was written by Jimmy Allen, but it was illustrated by a woman that I mentored at Hallmark when I was doing, and she came in as a brand new employee, and Kathy Ann Johnson. She lives in Italy now. She's on another book that's called Stand Up, and it's African American women who stood up and stood for something important, stood for right, stood for truth. And so you can take a look at this book, and she's just got some really wonderful illustrations in there, and I just feel blessed. You can even find her on Facebook, Kathy Ann Johnson. You got to go and look at her. She's got a beautiful way of looking at life and everything. She's just an amazing, amazing woman. I told her one time on Facebook, I says, I hope when I grow up, I'm going to be just like you. So another thing that I want to, now I don't want to overwhelm you, but I'm going to send around a list and a sign-up sheet. And I want you to take a look at it as I'm talking about and having other people, because I don't want to be just about me, because I have two or three people I want to pick out that I want you to see that God has been preparing you for your next assignment for all of your life. And I want to have a couple of women come up and talk about that in their own life. What was their earliest experience when God showed? Now, we heard last night from Susan that she was 7 years old when she was trying to corral a cat with a harness. Well, that's, you know, is that going to really happen? She managed to get that done, but that led her into part of her calling and assignment. Okay, so I'm going to pass this around, and just I have a whole list of things that you can, ideas that you can do. There are many, many needs, and I know many needs. I have a card that you can get my name, and you'll be seeing me. And we can connect about all sorts of ways that you can impact your family, your community, your neighborhood, or whatever. And then on this sheet here, if you'd write your name and the action that you would like to take, just guiding off of this list, or anything else that you have seen here that you would like to do. Is that workable, do you think? And pick one or two that really resonate with you, that you'd really like to do, and then that will give me and us an idea about where you can implement that. I'd like to pick Brenda Van Fleet to come up first. I've known Brenda a long time, and what was it, 2 years ago, or just a year ago, it was City of Our God. So...
It was September last year, I think, that I had a vision of independence, and I think most of you have probably heard this, so I'll tell the short version. But I was just laying in bed one morning, and I saw the vision open up, and I was over independence, and I began seeing billboards, like on the highways. And every billboard said, this city is the city of our God. This city stands for one nation under God. This city honors the one true God. And as I was taken closer to the city and realized it was independence, and then I began seeing signs on buildings. Some were homemade, some were pre-made. And then I was taken down into the streets in a neighborhood, and I just saw thousands upon thousands upon thousands of signs. There was no identification of who they were from or who had put them up. It was just signs that said, "The city stands for one nation under God. The city is the city of our God." And so I asked the Lord, I said, "What do I do with this?" And I got up and I started writing it down. And as I did, he brought a dream back to me that I'd had a couple months prior, that even at the end of writing that dream, I wrote, I do not have the interpretation of this dream. And so as I was sitting and writing the vision, the Lord said, herein lies the meaning to your dream. I said, okay, Lord. Well, the dream was that I was in a large hotel lobby. And on the right-hand side, there were balconies and that went up about 20 floors. And you could see people sitting at tables, and you could see kind of like into the rooms. And my attention was drawn to the very top, about 20 floors was my guess. And there was a man and I think a woman. There were just two people sitting at a table. And I knew whatever I had, and I didn't know what that was, had to get to those people. The room was absolutely jam-packed with people. And they were in their own little clusters. And they were very self-absorbed. Nobody was paying attention to anybody else. And about that time, I saw in the far left corner these very large, black, menacing figures coming towards me. And I knew at that time, okay, whatever I have needs to get to them, and these guys are after me. And so I said, Lord, what do I do? And I turned to the person next to me, because that's all I could do, just like a, that's all I could turn. And I said, love your neighbor as yourself. Those you have stolen from, give back to. I thought, okay, that's kind of odd. And I turned to the person to the other side, and I said the same thing. And what I didn't realize until a little bit later was that as I said to them, it was like their eyes kind of opened up, and it was like then they went and shared with someone else. Well, I didn't even catch that at first. I just was sharing with the little people that I could around. These black menacing figures were coming closer to me, and they were just mowing people down. I just saw groups of people just flattened on the ground, and I knew they were destroyed. And about that time, I saw people start climbing the balcony. I said, Lord, what's going on? And the Lord said, the darkness will be absorbed by the light. And I said, okay. And about that time, the black figures looked at me. They looked at the people going up the balcony. And they realized that the message that I had, which was God's word, that I was not the one that had to deliver it. It was going through, and it was going to be delivered where it needed to be delivered. And the dream ended. That's why I wrote, I don't know the interpretation of this dream. So as I'm writing down the vision, the Lord said, herein lies the meaning to your dream. He said, you step out in faith, you share what I've given you, and you let it grow. I said, okay, Lord, where do I even start? And it was just one testimony after another. As you know, when you are engaged in doing something that the Lord has asked you to do, he opens the way. I was on Facebook the next day, and a name jumped out at me, and I said, Lord, I don't even know them. And he said, call them. Tell them your vision. So I did. And this person said, I don't know you, but I know from the confirmation of the Spirit that this is of the Lord. What do you need me to do? And I said, I don't even know. I said, I guess we have to get some signs. And he says, well, then we have to have funding. So that group organized the funding and bought the signs, and they started being, and I knew the Lord had given me the exact dates. It was to be September 21st, and it was to go to a certain time that my involvement was, and as far as actively engaged in it. And so September 21st, we started putting the signs out. We got donations from all kinds of different denominations, because it was totally non-denominational, and put billboards up. And I don't know if you saw any of them around the city. They were up for a while. Okay, that's very, very expensive, so it wasn't something we were able to keep ongoing. But we did have billboards that said, this city honors the one true God, I think is what we did. That was a really interesting thing, too, because we were supposed to put a sign up at 23rd Street in Chrysler. And I saw that sign in my vision. And that sign in my vision was, this city is a city of our God. And when we went to order that, I said, Lord, this is really hard. We put up, this city honors the one true God. The city stands for one nation under God, that one. And I said, and that one we haven't had a lot of flack over, you know, that's been okay. I said, but to put this city as a city of our God right there at 23rd and Chrysler, I said, you're just going to have to give me the strength. And he said, I said, can we put something else? And he says, you do what I shared with you. And I said, okay, Lord. I said, you got to help me push the button. So I did. I pushed the button, sent the order out. I said, okay, Lord, you got to give me something to help me, and give me a song. And it was Just Hold Me, Lord, Just Hold Me, Lord. And anyway, it got me through that time. What was really interesting was that 2 weeks later, when they put the sign up, they put the sign up that said, this city stands for one nation under God. And so I said, Lord, what do I do? And he said, you leave it. I'll take care of it. He said, you did what I asked you to do, and that's all that matters. And so it never did change. It never was what I saw in the vision. I have not seen thousands and thousands and thousands of signs, but I know that there have been many lives that have been touched, and I know my 2 minutes is up. And, you know, I know that it was, I know I did what the Lord asked me to do, and that was my role, and then I had to let it go. And whether it's ended, we still have signs. You know, whether it's ended, if anybody wants a sign, they're free. You're welcome to one. And we just ask that as people put it in their yards, because we had people say, yeah, you can put a sign in my yard. I said, no, it's not what it's about. It's a declaration. You are declaring that this city stands for one nation under God. This city is the city of our God. And I said, and if that's something you want to declare in your home, in your yard, in your family, then it needs to be you that makes that declaration. And as you do, as you put it in the ground, you ask the Lord for protection. You ask the Lord for guidance as to how to share this and what to do with it, and for his blessing upon it. And, you know, we've not had a sign that I know of taken out or taken down or destroyed by the weather. Had one that was run over by a car, but it was not a big deal, and we replaced it. So it's been a year now. It's been over a year, and they're still standing. Yeah. So.
Okay. And we have signs here. They're over on the left hand, on the white, against the white wall. If you want, this is one thing you can do. If the Lord impresses you to take a sign, then do so. And that's one of the things that's on that list. Brenda reminded me of a message that I had been feeling strongly to give. And it's a realization for me, and I believe it's, and I know that it is a message for all people. And that is that we need to put loving our neighbor first and foremost in our lives, period. Because we are to love God with all our heart, might, mind, and strength. And we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. And when we are in the service of our fellow beings, we are in the service of our God. Did he not say that when you fill the needs of the least of these, you are serving me? So he's flipped it. He's flipped it that when we love our neighbor, we are loving God, and that needs to become our primary focus. It cannot be a Good Samaritan kind of event. That Good Samaritan, he may have been just one. It might have been his daily walk. I would like to think that it was, that was just the kind of man he was, that no matter what situation he was in. But we are called as Latter-day Israel to take care of the widows and the orphans and the strangers. Israel was called on the carpet because they were not taking care of the strangers in their midst. He says, I want you to take care of the strangers as if he is one of you, as if he is kin. And so this cannot be an afterthought. This can't be just something where we help an elderly lady with the groceries in her grocery cart, or that, you know, give me another example of doing good for someone. And this is something that we need to be intentional about. We need to be consistent about. We need to be divinely focused about. This God's work is to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. Our work is to love our neighbor. Now, our neighbor is our family, our husband. I mean, you know, if you put it into that kind of context, it is everyone outside of ourselves. And so we love ourselves, we take care of ourselves, we internalize that, and we know and we love God in ourselves. And then we are to love our neighbors. That is first and foremost, primary, folks. And I've never heard that from any pulpit. I've never experienced that. That is a bit of knowledge that God gave me last week, that all this do-gooding that I've been doing up until this time, that was great. But he says, you are just doing a sample of what I want you to do. And how, now I don't want that to be overwhelming to you, because God is giving you fun, easy ways to engage with him. He will just put something in your mind. He will bring opportunities. When you lay your life before the Holy Spirit, he will give you opportunities and he will work it out ahead of you. And put people in your path that you can minister to, and also that they can minister, that you can minister to them and that they can minister to you. Because receiving God's grace through another person is just as important as giving God's grace to another person. That's loving a person too, because it's recognizing the gift that he has to offer you. So I just wanted to pass that along, that this is our primary focus in life. That is what we are here on earth to do, is to love our neighbor, period. Okay, the next person I'd like to come up is Marilyn. And you can take 5 minutes. But if it turns into 7, that's okay. So I'd like for Marilyn to share what she's been doing in her neighborhood very recently.
My name is Marilyn Middleton, born and raised in Independence, left for 27 years and then moved back. Saw quite a change in those 27 years. I don't have any family except for Muriel. Muriel is my only relative that's anywhere close to me. And so her family is my family. But other than that, I'm alone. I was married, but never had any children. And so there's no grandchildren or nothing like that. And I was always, as a child, I was one of two children. I have an older brother. And we were quite close, but, you know, it was one brother. And I always wanted a sister. I don't know that it would have been great, but I thought it would be great to have a sister. And I had a cousin, an aunt who had 6 children. And they used to, and they all married, and they had children, and they used to have these great big family reunions. And I thought, oh, wow, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be such fun? Because I never had anything like that. So anyway, I've missed having a larger family. So I had lived alone for quite a number of years. And early last summer, I began inviting neighbors into my home. And I invited 2 or 3 at a time, women that I knew, that I had met. I knew them casually. I would speak to them when I saw them and so on, but I didn't really know anything about their lives. So I just invited them to come into my home and we had a little refreshment and we just talked. There was no agenda. It was not a Bible study. It wasn't anything. It was just come and let me get to know you a little bit. I thought they'd probably stay an hour. The first people stayed about three. And finally they said, it's late. I've got to go home and get supper. They all enjoyed it, including me. It was great. And I would always suggest, you know, this has been fun. This has been really great. Why don't you do this? Because you know people I don't know. So you invite them into your home and include me if you want or not. And I have, over the course of this, I didn't do it every week. And it wasn't any work. It really wasn't. I mean, I had a slight, small little thing that I served. But mostly we just talked. And I just opened my home and said, you're welcome. Anytime. Come see me. Come visit. Out of that, I've taught 10 women over this period. And of that, 2 women have done what I hoped they would do. And they have opened their homes to some of their neighbors and are getting to know them. And my neighborhood is very large. It's not just my street. It's not just my block. It's that whole area that I live and move in. And through this experience, I met a neighbor who lives about, maybe 2 blocks from me. I would never have known her otherwise. She's deaf. And I have been made arranged. I used to see her every Wednesday morning or whatever, just visit. And the first time I met her, I said to her, and I have to write everything because she doesn't hear. And I don't know sign language. She doesn't know sign language. She doesn't read lips, so we have to write her. I mean, she talks, and I can hear her, but I have to write everything for her. So anyway, I wrote to her, what are you going to do today? And she said, I'm going to walk. No, she didn't say I'm going to walk. She said, I'm going to go to Olive Garden and have lunch. Now, she lives about a mile from Olive Garden, off of 40 Highway. Not safe to walk on 40 Highway, especially if you're deaf. Or maybe not especially, but anyway, not a good idea. So I said, I'll go with you. I'll take you to lunch. Well, I'll go with you. I didn't take her. She pays her own way. She was just amazed. Will you? Oh, that was wonderful. So anyway, as a result of that, I've been seeing her weekly. And I said to her the other day, I wrote to her, would you like to learn sign language? And I thought she'd say, oh, I'm too old. It's too hard. It won't work. Because that's kind of how she is. But she turned, I was in the car, and she turned to me and she said, do you know it? Can you teach me? And I said, no, I can't. But I might know somebody that can. And at my church, we had a concert from a class of high school students who were taking sign language. And they put on a concert, and it was marvelous. It was really very interesting and very nice. It took me a while to put the two together, but I thought, I can't teach her sign language, but I'll bet you that somebody in that class can, or the teacher certainly can. So I did some prep work and called the teacher. She was lovely. She will work with me. I'm trying to get together a group of five people. It can be women, can be young, can be old, can be men, can be anybody that would like to know some sign language, just the rudimentary language. I'm not going to get into, and it's something I don't want to be an interpreter or anything of that kind. But out of that, out of my opening my home, now who would ever thought I would want to be taking sign languages at 89 years old? Now, come on, that is absurd. But I'm going to do it. At least I'm going to start. I don't think I'll be very good at it because I'm not too good at this kind of thing. But, but we'll see. And so anyway, because then I got to thinking, okay, that's great. We take sign. Sharon and I take sign language with Sharon. And but who else is she going to talk to? Just me? So I want other people involved so that maybe they can be friends with hers and so on too. I don't know how this will work out. It may just fall flat. I don't know. But I'm going to try it. And I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
Thank you. No, I've got to do it. Anybody here interested in joining? Are you really? That would
put it
be
on
fantastic.
Put it on the sheet.
Okay, yeah, put it on the sheet. But then you... Okay, great. Yeah, I'll talk to you more about it later. Okay, so that has been a very good experience for me to have opened my home to the other people. And I do some follow-up work because I think you just don't invite people one time and then that's it because I don't really know them. I've gotten a little bit to know them, but I really need to know them more. I think we're going to be in some hard times, lady. And I'm counting on my neighbors to help me. And I'm counting on God to help me, really. And speaking of that, I know my time is probably up. But I'd like to talk to you a little about your spiritual storehouse. We talk about a physical storehouse all the time. Or at least we do in my church. I don't know whether you do or not. We've got to get our supplies in because we're going to have a tough winter. We've got to get extra coats. We've got to get toilet paper. I mean, that is the most important thing in the world.
Right.
I can't believe it. But you've got to have some because you might not be able to get it. And then what would you do? Heaven forbid. So, okay, anyway.
Use leaves.
Well, those scratch. Those aren't good.
No.
Anyway, so we are so physical. We are so in this world. Even those of us that don't think we are. We are just everything. We can't touch it. We can't see it. We can't smell it. It doesn't exist. But there's also a spiritual I always say that, spiritual storehouse. Spiritual warfare is another thing, but we need stuff in our spiritual storehouse to do the warfare. Have I got that right?
Okay. The practical warfare.
Yes. Okay. All through my life, now I didn't realize this until just kind of recently, actually. I'm a slow learner, I think. That's why I'm still here. I've got a lot to learn yet. Some people get it by the time they're 30, but I didn't, so here I am. So anyway, okay. Somebody mentioned this about a spiritual warfare, a spiritual storehouse. And I got thinking about it, and I thought about my life. And all through my life, I have been putting stuff in my spiritual storehouse that I was not aware of at all. I was married, got divorced, was living in California, was all alone, had no support. I mean, I had some friends, but I didn't have any family support. And I learned to budget, to live on a very limited amount of money. I learned the value of study and commitment and helping others. And so much of that came out of that experience. That was a bad experience. I don't recommend that to anybody. It was heartbreaking. But I learned a lot, and I put stuff in my spiritual storehouse. Attributes that I could call on later when I needed them. And I think that if you would look, just take a moment and go through the events of your life, you'll see how God has been giving you experiences, both good and bad, and you learn the attributes that you're going to need later on. And I think that's one reason I'm still here. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. And I mention my age because I think that's important. When people get to be my age, they think, I'm done, I've done it, I've been there, I've done everything, nothing more I can do for the Lord. That is so not true. That is so not true. If you have your health, which I have been blessed and I do have, and as long as I have my health and am able to be mobile, and I'm slow, and I don't walk very well, but I do walk. And as long as I can do that, I want to serve God, and I want to serve other people. And so I think that perhaps is all I need to say. Let me see if I have something else here that's really... leave without leaving a little jewel here. I mean, I may not get this chance again.
Gems of wisdom.
So take advantage of it.
The lady across the street?
Yeah. What about her?
The little isolated lady that you go visit.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about her. I'm sorry. Well, I have a neighbor. I have a lot of neighbors. I mean, we all do. She's not housebound exactly, but she's very fearful. And she has had a lot of surgeries and a lot of physical problems. And she's in her... She's not as old as I am, but I think she's probably 80. And she has a caregiver. And the caregiver came to my door one time, and she said, could you come and visit her? She's very lonely, and I can only do so much. And I said, sure, of course. And she came to me because I had been calling Jackie and talking to her on the phone. I hadn't been going to see her, but I had been calling her. And so I agreed that I would see her every Saturday night at 6 o'clock. And I did that for a while. Unfortunately, her health has deteriorated, and she is very fearful. I'm out and about. She doesn't like that, so she doesn't want me to come. But I tried to get other people to come and see her. That didn't work out. But I think that knowing her, it probably wouldn't have worked out because she, as I say, she was very... Why she let me come, I really don't know, because she knew I was out and about. I didn't wear a mask. And I always say to her, do you want me to wear a mask? And she'd say no. So I didn't. But anyway, that was just one reaching out to a neighbor. And I want to continue to keep in contact with her. And
what about your neighbor that opened up the domino effect to be able to have the effect in the city.
With the homeless?
Yes, with the opportunity. Okay.
Another thing that happened because of my meeting with my neighbors. This neighbor came in one day, and she said she was very. She had a meeting. Another one of the women that I had in my home decided to have a meeting in her home. And I thought, great, that's what I want. I want this to spread. I don't want it just to stop with me. So anyway, we went to this meeting, and this other woman came in, and she said, what are we going to do about the homeless? I said, I don't know. What are we going to do about the homeless? I know we've got a lot of them. We need to do something. I agree. She and her husband had been out and saw this homeless man, and he was on 40 Highway, and he wanted to go down to the Veterans Center, which isn't really all that far. It's probably, a mile maybe or a little bit more. And she wanted to take him. She wanted to take him in the car. And her husband said, no, we should not do that. So she ended up, I think they gave him some money. And anyway, they kind of said to him, it's just down the road here. If you can go down, perhaps they can help you. But anyway, she was upset about it because she didn't feel like she handled it very well and that she was really very helpful. And so when I said to somebody, well, do you know anybody on the city council? No, nobody did. I do. So I called the person I know on the city council, and I said, John, what's the city council doing about all these homeless people? And he said, well, as a matter of fact, this was probably in July. Yeah, I think so. There's going to be a meeting in September, city council meeting, and we're going to talk about what Independence plans to do about the homeless. I said, great, I'll be there. So I went back, and so this woman and her husband and I and Hedda went to the town council meeting. Now, I'm sorry to say nothing much has happened as a result of that, but I hadn't been to a town meeting for, 40 years maybe? And I would never have gone, never. I wouldn't even have known about it if it hadn't been for this neighbor who came in and was upset about the situation. I did make some contacts with some people who are trying to do some things, and something may come of it. It was interesting, one of the city council members, I of course spoke, knowing me, I had to say something. And so she said, I want your phone number. She took my phone number, but I have not heard a word since from her. So this was the 21st of September. Chances are I'm not going to hear anything. But at least a lot of people voiced. Now, it also turned out to be not just about the homeless, it was about mental illness. But of course, there's a lot of correlation in there. And they didn't really have any. They did say they had some ideas of what to do, but I haven't seen any action. But that doesn't mean it isn't happening, because I don't have eyes and ears and everywhere. But anyway, it's just amazing the kinds of things that you get involved in by just a simple thing of inviting some people into my home. So don't be afraid, ladies. It doesn't have to be a grand estate. It doesn't have to be a wonderful feast. Just be friendly and interested in other people, and they'll know of it, whether you're sincere or not, whether you really mean it.
Thank you. Awesome.
Okay. I love you, Marilyn.
Thank you. I love you too, Marilyn.
Okay. That was absolutely perfect. And I wouldn't have done justice to that, but she actually showed you what I was trying to explain, and that is that God puts these things, these simple things, into our lives, opportunities and desires. Just to do a simple thing of inviting people into your home, and look what happened with that. It had impact upon the entire community, the whole city, just by opening her own home. Now, the third person I want to invite is Rhonda Stallman. And she has two things that she'd like to share. And the one that I feel so blown away by is that she took something that is the least, the last, the dirtiest thing that anybody wants to do, and she tackled it. She's been tackling it for, I think, 30 years, and I love that about her intentionality, her consistency, and the difference that it has made. Now, she's going to tell you how tired maybe, and how depressed she gets about the fact that this work that she's doing is not appreciated, or it's just always there. But she'll explain all of that. And then she has a second thing that I want her to share with you that I think is important for us all to know. Okay.
Thank you, Muriel. I don't know if it's been that long, but
a long time.
You've
been doing this for more than a year, or just a week, or something.
What Muriel's referring to is trash pickup. I don't know, 2011, 2012, on my road that we lived on, there'd be tires down over the bank and all kinds of junk. You've seen it. And I know this one, I just pulled it up to the edge of the road, and then I had my husband come with the truck and help get that loaded. And then when we moved to the Independence Mobile Home after our fire, I would take walks. And I'd pass by this place, I mean, close to where I lived. I mean, there was broken recliners, paint cans, all kinds of trash. And I'd gripe about it. How could they? And then I'd walk past it again. And, how could they? And then finally, the Holy Spirit impressed upon me, if I was going to gripe about it, I needed to roll up my sleeves and do something. So I got gloves. And the next time I dove into those briars and bushes and pulled the recliners to the edge of the road, you know, on the curb, not on the road, and the trash, the cans and everything, and I put it on the side of the road, and then I left. And I felt good. That made me feel good. And I don't know if it was within a week or whatever, the pile of trash was gone. I found out later on that our maintenance man in our mobile home park did something about it. You know, God touched someone else to further that. So gradually, I started picking up around our little community there. And at this one little, not even a half a mile, there was, the first time I picked it up, there was like 26 bags. And then, you know, a couple years go by and only 14. I told Mike the other day, I said, Mike, look, I haven't been picking up for a while. But look, there's not, I don't see any trash. So anyway, God placed that on my heart, and I give him the glory. Since I got my job, I haven't been picking up trash because, you know, having a full-time job, that's kind of busy. Plus, the other thing that God is really, this I'm very passionate about, God told me, write your story. And I didn't listen right away, but when I started to, I've got two books written. One, God is in control. And the second one, God continues to be in control. They are a compilation of part of my testimonies, part of other things that have impressed me, what I have gained about how do we worship. And right now I'm working on book three, God Always Was in Control. And that is, well, you don't know, there's another chapter, but anyway. And God gave me the name, the first name, and then it just seemed to flow. But I'm still working on this one. It's like 300 and some pages, and I'm thinking I'm going to have to cut it off at one point because I don't want a book that's like too hard to hold. But yeah, and that will go into the next book, which is another continuation of God being in control. But there are no two stories alike. And we should never compare. He's told me many times, don't compare your story with another. He's very personal. And he's awesome. So, God is good. And I would inspire you all to journal. And you can publish your book for free. There's several. I'm not familiar with them. I haven't used them, but I've used Lulu.com. It's an on-demand publishing company where you can get them to do your editing and whatnot. I've not chosen that. I have downloaded my book, and all it costs me when I want to order one, I order one, and it costs me. So, you know, to purchase the book. And then if anybody else wants to, they can go to lulu.com. But it's free. So God has really opened the doors for us to get out our story.
Thank you, Rhonda. Rhonda reminded me of something that I want you all to know, and that is that we are absolutely unique creatures. There's no two of us who are alike because of our variety of experiences, the things that He hardwired us for from the foundation of the world, and we were born with before we could ever say a word or you know, go anything like that with our lips, there are things and people that you will reach that no one else can reach. You know that's right, don't you? There are other people who could step in and do it, but there are people and circumstances that God has made you to walk into and to be present for and available for. And so when we walk into our neighbors, into our neighborhoods, we have to know that we are there not only with a purpose, but we are uniquely created for each and every moment that we step into.
Muriel's been talking. I'm just having the Lord hit my heart. I want to do something a little daring. I hope it doesn't make you feel uncomfortable. If you are a member of the RLDS Church, would you mind standing up for a moment? Or its branches? Yeah, LDS, RLDS. I did it to repent for the body of Christ that has ostracized and criticized you and hasn't looked at the sincerity of your faith. And didn't look at you as people and individuals in a pursuit of a God that you love. And they categorized you, and they put you with a group, and they labeled you. And when you went seeking, they rejected you. And I just feel before the Lord that as someone who's never even walked in the doors of an RLDS church until today or yesterday, it's not right, and it's not His heart. He looks at each of you as an individual. And He looks at the sincerity of your individual faith. You are not members of a denomination. You are members of a body of Christ. And let's not let that divide us anymore. And this is the thing, you know, you shared a story with me about a local ministry that you experienced rejecting you. And it keeps coming up. I wish Robin hadn't left, because she said something about it too. And I just feel the Lord just wanting to have someone from something, you know, someone who's never even been part of that denomination, but someone who could have been quick to cast judgment from a lack of knowledge. I just really felt like there was something, a freedom that you guys needed to have, just a repentance before the Lord, of just as someone is standing before you as a representation of the rest of the body of Christ. We repent. We ask for your forgiveness. And you know what, ladies? I don't know about the rest of the RLDS. I know nothing really about it. But this is what I know. Each and every one of you, your sincerity of faith is undeniable. And your hunger for God is undeniable. And it's impressive. that you're ready and you're willing to go for God. And I've been humbled. Muriel's group has humbled me. I call it the grandma group. See, none of my grandmas walked with God. So it's just been a breath of fresh air to be in a group of women. They just, you're going for it. I mean, I told a pastor over in Overland Park that had a little bit of a haughty attitude. And I said, you know what? There's a group of grandmas in Independence, Missouri that are going to blow the world up while you're over here sitting in your juices that you think you got it all figured out. God is about ready to do a move of his spirit on the earth that no man can claim. And he's going to do it among the lowly and the forgotten. And he's going to do it in the middle of the ghetto. And he's going to do it in the middle of the most forgotten places so that man cannot claim that move. And it was just something I felt like I needed to do. Hopefully that brings a level of healing to some of you. Here, Marilyn.
I don't know how the rest of you feel, but I really appreciate that.
I do too.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
On the other hand, I think we have some repenting to do as well.
We do. Yeah. Yep.
And I really do. I really think that we have not acknowledged that at all corporately. And I think we need, it's time that we heal the hurts and move forward with love in our hearts for all who are trying to follow Christ. And that's got rid of the ites and the isms and the ish and just be the body of Christ.
Oh, Katie, you bring the tears out. And that's a good thing. That is such a good thing. All right. That's right. We're not afraid of tears, are we? It's very therapeutic. You get them out, and then it's all clean. Okay. I would like next to take a few minutes, and I would like Katie and Marcia to stand up here. Yeah. And this is going to be a big, big awkward step for one person, and that's Becky. I want Becky up here. She's either going to kill me or hug me afterwards, whatever it is. All right. Well, there's two boxes back there. Okay, so these four ladies are up here, and I would like for all of us to pick a lady and stand in front of her and let her pray for you and give you a word from the Lord, whatever's in their hearts. And I know this is just, I know this is a surprise to Marcia. And because I didn't tell anybody except Katie.
Do you mind if I add a lady to the group?
Yes, go ahead.
Cheryl, why don't you come on up?
Okay. Now, this is going to be a personal word, so there won't be any mics. And you think about this, of who, and kind of spread out, ladies, so you're not, you know, you're not hearing each other's conversations or anything. Yeah, just spread out. This is a personal time. And you take a look at these women, or not, or just go up and stand in front of one. And then when they're finished, then another woman can come up. Does that sound like a workable plan? Yes, yeah. Do five at once. They're all going to be praying all at once for, you know, for each individual woman. So it'll be low, it'll be quiet,
And okay, so pick your lady, ladies.
Right now. You've got to make up and decide right now if you have a wavering spirit, which direction you're going to go. There are more than one, but there's only the one way. Make up in your mind, in your spirit, which direction you're going to go. You cannot straddle that fence any longer. The word that has come to you in these 2 days should equip you, wants to equip you, wants to fill you, wants you to be fulfilled. Get that mind out of the way. Increase in your level of thinking. Get that mind out of the way. Get that will out of the way. But you've got to make up, make your decision. Make it today. Ladies, make it today. Don't waver anymore. There are no excuses.
Thank you, Marcia. Okay, I would like for another lady to come up. Brumfield, first name? Gina. Gina. I'd like Gina to share something that it's visual with you, and it's a project that she's working on. And so if there's anyone who can lend, who feels led by the Spirit to lend her support in this, I'll have her explain what this is. And it's a little bit difficult for you sisters to see, but she can explain what's, you know, what's on there. Okay. And to give you a preface, I know there are many people who have different concepts of Zion. Some people don't even know, haven't even heard the word. I used to have a license plate that said for Zion. I can't even remember. Maybe it was in Zion. I can't remember now. And I had someone say, "What's Zion? What's Zion?" And then I've had people say, "Well, Zion is only going to be in Jerusalem." But God says in Psalm 130:132, He says, "Zion shall be my habitation." So wherever God is, that is where Zion is. And Zion is, and we believe in our faith that it is, Zion is heaven on earth, and we are living out the Father's prayer, the Lord's prayer: "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And for us, that is Zion. And I'll let Gina share her her image there. Okay, you can take this and.
My dad's father was in the priesthood, elder, I think, and he had this thing when I was growing up that he was kind of a geek about. And I'm like, "Oh no, Grandpa, not that again." Right? It was one of those sit up in bed in the middle of the night things that God spoke to him. "This is what I want you to do." And he had all this scriptural references that what he put on this page referred to. It was to a graphic of a God-based calendar. And it changed over the years somewhat. And I thought that he was pretty geeky, but I admired that he was so passionate about this for years, like from about 1978 at least, right up until he died, really, in 1995. And then I was about 40, which was I'm 51, so that was 11 years ago, something around 40 years old, I had the first of a series of dreams. And the first dream was, I wasn't scared in the dream, but the freaky part was when I woke up, because I flipped out for 6 months. I wrote lists based on this dream. It was like the start of Mel Gibson's Mad Max, where things are starting to skew sideways and it's not safe to go by yourself anymore, anywhere. And so people were grouping up, and we were going to, where I remember thinking that I was in Nevada, Missouri, and I looked for the structure. We were standing outside, and I could find no structure like this. And we were heading to Independence, Missouri, because we had heard that that was the only place of safety. And I looked around at our group, and I thought, yeah, okay, I can do this. And that's it. I woke up. And then the second dream was almost exactly 1 year to the day later. And after this, the second dream was so exciting. I woke up. It was Tuesday. By Saturday, the dream had driven me so crazy that I had to do something about it, which was to lay out a floor plan of a microhome. And after that is when I started to have insights. And from that came this project, this pamphlet that I started to write. And so this picture, this image is part of that. See, the background is craft paint that I scumbled on here. And then the letters are Zion. See, the background is ruined places. And and then the letters are the city of God, and little figures are people and their pets and livestock coming into Zion. And I want to have some figures that are smaller scale than this one coming out to greet them, and that's kind of where I'm stalled, with having the smaller scale figures than this, because that this is about the smallest I could get, really. So that's my, I arrived and realized that I forgot the written part of my pamphlet, but that's, that at least is the artwork, the one image of it. And so this part here is all the ruined part of where they're coming out of. I was at first trying to get it published and not getting anywhere, really, and so finally I'm like getting desperate and thinking, well, I'll just go to Kinko's or something and print it. So that's where I'm at now.
This is the part that we're the most excited about. And I know everybody's getting sleepy, but this is the part where we want you guys to talk. We have a little over an hour, and so what we would like to do is we would like to hear from each of you a few things. One, we would like to hear, what do you feel like your assignment is? If you don't know, it's okay. Okay? Remember, assignment is short term, right? Or not necessarily short term. It is what you're called by God to do right now. Something simple, something in front of you. What do you feel like your assignment is? Okay? If you don't have one, that's okay. Just say, I'm seeking the Lord for my assignment. That's number one. Number two is, out of the whole weekend, what spoke to you the most? Okay? What has ministered to your heart the most? And number three, if we did something like this again, what would you like to see? And so, because of time and because we want opportunity for every woman to share, we need to try to keep it as short and concise as possible. So where we take our time is stories. So I'd really like everyone to try, and I know this is hard for me too, is everyone to try to omit stories as much as possible and just try to answer those three questions. So number one, what is it you feel like your assignment is? Yeah, let's do that on the board. Good idea, Marcia. Here, you can just go ahead and delete that. And we can do like three columns with each of those questions, and then we'll write out their answers, and then we can take a picture of it, and then we can take it back and use that as part of our planning for the future. So Muriel's group, the Lift Sisters, meets at the building in the same parking lot that's at the other end of the parking lot once a week on Thursday evenings at 6:30. Is that right, Muriel? 6:30. I've been going about every other week to that because of conference planning. On an ongoing basis, I am going to probably do that once a month, unless we end up doing another event in the future we plan for. But about once a month, I'm going to still go to the sisters' meeting, because there's no way I can miss my grandma's group. There's just no way. I got to keep coming back to my grandma's. So it's something that I'm going to keep doing. I'm going to miss it, that it's not going to be every other week. But my kids' schedule is so busy that I really need to try to make it every once a month. So I'm going to be doing that. So you guys will see me there. I highly encourage you, if you're not part of the Lift Sisters, to get involved. It is a great place to have community. It's a great place to just connect with women on a weekly basis. It's just come and go as you can. If you need to show up late, show up late. If you can make it one week and not the next week, no big deal. It's just a great environment. For those of you who want to continue to connect, like with what we're doing, I've talked a little bit about the nonprofit organization that I run called 1018 Strategy. It's based off of Psalms 1018, which says, "The orphan and the oppressed will be terrified no longer, but you will bring them justice, and no one will trouble them." So on the back table with the one here next to the sound booth, there's these little cards like this, and they say, "Find us online." If you want to keep track of what I'm doing, or me and my team, like Marcia's a part of my team, Crystal's a part of my team, this is how you can get a hold of me and find out what we're doing in the city and things like that. So that's just a way for you guys to connect. So that's just kind of some follow-up homework. But we really want to spend time answering these two questions, or these three questions. What is your assignment? And then what is the one thing that spoke to you? And let's try to answer these three questions, and we're going to write everyone's responses as much as we can under each, because we want to try to catalog and record. Crystal, if you could help me just write down people's responses, that would be awesome, just so we make sure we have enough room. Because we really, you know, this whole thing has been before the Lord. We didn't know how this thing would turn out. We didn't know if we would have five people show up. We had no clue. We just felt like we needed to be obedient to the Lord. And so we don't know where it's going. We don't know if we'll do anything else. But our heart is that we don't just get you excited and leave you hanging, right? That's not fun. That's not fair. So the goal is to keep you guys engaged and keep you guys going forward for what God has been putting in your heart. And so we're leaving that open before the Lord. And as we're leaving that open before the Lord about what or if we do something in the future, we want you guys to be a part of that discussion, because he's put some awesome stuff in you guys, okay? So we're just going to have an open mic, one person at a time. Let's try to remember to omit stories and to be cognizant of time for everybody else, and answer these three questions the best you can. Uh-huh. Okay, come on.
My assignment is to write my story and to record testimonies. The fourth book that I compiled, a book of testimonies of people that shared their testimonies and allowed me to put it in a book. The Holy Spirit told me that I'm the keeper of testimonies. And there's not just one. I'm not the only one, but I'm a keeper of the testimonies. What spoke to me the most, when we were doing the web thing, I could feel his spirit several different times, just from the top of my head to the tip of my toe, and I don't remember exactly when those was. And if we did another event, what would you like to see? I would like everybody to be prepared to come, to offer what the Holy Spirit places on their heart, and let the Holy Spirit move. Have nothing orchestrated, and just everybody's comfortable with it moving. That's my desire.
Okay. Live in a place that what I used to growing up with the church, with having prayer meeting, what we call prayer meeting, doesn't exist where I live at, and so I miss going to Wednesday night prayer meeting. And so I love hearing testimonies any way that I can. Always have, really. And then my assignment is currently the pamphlet. And another event, I don't know what that would be. Can't think of anything.
I know, and it was confirmed, that my assignment a lot of times is transitional people. I have taught a lot of people, and it starts out that they want to learn how to be a dog trainer because they love dogs, but they are actually from homes that take in people with addiction straight out of prison. I have taught inmates in military prison. I have taught inmates in state prison how to train dogs. And it is you take the dog that is at risk in its life, and then you give it to someone that is off track in their life, and then they place it with someone that has a disabling condition. And so I have been able to use people that come out of transitional houses to teach them, and a lot of times I know that they're not there to actually learn how to be a dog trainer. But the things I teach them, and because of my love of God, and that I always speak about Jesus and that what blessings he has, that's what actually transforms them. They may be going through the dog training, but they're learning to give back to community, and they're learning some social skills, and they're learning about Jesus. And so that's my assignment, is using broken people that need to have the unconditional love of a dog, maybe for a time, so that they can heal and then go back out into the community. And sometimes they go back to jail, and then they come back out. When Sarah was here, she said that Brian texted her, "Tell her, which is me, I love her, and that I thank her, and tell her that I tell everyone the story of what I learned when I was under her instruction." And so I don't always know what happens after these people leave, but I know that the Holy Spirit has them and that they will see the Lord show up and show off. Probably just feeling the Holy Spirit and getting some confirmation and the BIRDS acronym to maybe be able to pray a lot more out of strength and with direction and confidence that the Holy Spirit is there and that you can bring things down from heaven to manifest here on earth in other people's behalf. And yes, I'd be at another conference. And I'm not one to go to meetings that don't do things, that don't change people. And so I felt very good about this conference.
I realized yesterday that I got my assignment 2 years ago. But I thought maybe coming here would be different or bigger, you know, something, I don't know. But my husband passed away 2 years ago, and I remember just saying to God, okay, what am I going to do now? You know, it just came to me that I needed to be a better sister to my sister, to my church family. I needed to be a better friend to other single women. A lot of times that means elderly, not just single. And it was so clear to me yesterday that, no, that is my assignment. And I've been trying to answer his call in that area. It's just given me more more desire to seek out and have a community of single women that need support, that need each other. I still wear my wedding rings because it reminds me that I have the best husband I could ever have. He knows every need I have, and he's the only one that can supply it. The best thing that I got out of the conference was the birds. I've always felt a little nervous about, it's not really demanding God to heal somebody, but calling it forth. But this made it clear, because it's always like, you know what, Lord, I really want this, whether it's a spiritual or a physical healing, because I have a single friend, she's actually a family member, that I don't know what to do with her, because she needs help, but it's all spiritual. And I've rebuked Satan from her, I've rebuked his attacks, but anyway, this just confirmed that I need to continue doing that and praying healing scriptures over her and leave it in God's hands. And if it doesn't happen, it's okay. It's okay. I have no idea. I'm not an idea person. I've always said I'm not a very good chief, but I'm a really good Indian. So as far as giving you ideas for the next conference, I can't. But I would be here definitely. So who's next?
My assignment, and it was made very clear this weekend, is to stay where I'm at in my healing process and to let that continue until the Lord releases it. So that's my assignment. What I got out of this weekend, the most important thing this weekend for me was the birds, as has been said before, because it helps me understand even more so, because in my prayers I tend to bounce, and I thought, this is weird, Lord, but now it makes sense. And now it's okay. I know it's okay. For next time, I'm kind of like the gal that spoke before. I would like to see a weekend where we do just gather together and let Spirit take off with us in whatever direction He wants to take off with us. Because I think there's a lot, you know, in that whole unity thing, I think He is bringing us, the remnant, together. And we need to find out, okay, what is it we can do in that process right now to bring this group together? What do we need to do that we're missing to help us love each other the way that we need to love each other in your love, not our own? And so I would like to see that happen, is us just let Holy Spirit do the leading, and we just kind of participate in that move of whatever that looks like.
Thank you. My assignment is to speak truth, God's truth. My assignment is to show up. My assignment is to be present. My assignment is to impart. What touched me most this weekend was the mustard seed, that little dagger. The mustard seed touched me the most. The faith behind that mustard seed, and to what it ushered in, nothing more powerful, and it devoured the enemy. That touched me. Oh, Jesus. Oh, that touched me. Another conference, would I attend? Absolutely, yes. And to echo some of the sentiments already, I would like to see something down, but actually another flow to bring. We all have talents. We all have gifts, to see where they manifest in that weekend. Okay? That's what I would really like to see.
I have to agree with Marcia Wells. I'm a very visual person. And Lucy, that little bitty squirt of a girl standing confidently with her little bitty knife against that marauding killer army was just really, really cool. Really cool. That's something that I can put up every, I could put up every morning as I get up and say, okay, here, I'm ready. I'm ready. Oh, right. So that's what spoke to me the most. I think I'm living my assignment, have been for a couple of years. Becky prayed for me that somehow, some way, I would learn how to say no to some things. Because I do have a pretty full plate. And I would like my children and my husband to be more of my assignment than it is. It has been for a little while. It's been a season where it's been necessary for me to do what I've been doing. But I think the time is soon coming when I'm like what Brenda mentioned, where she wasn't the one that had to get it to the top. All she had to do was start it. So if I can find a way to do, who was it that said, I think it was Hedda, I want to find the best, the most powerful way to make the biggest move of God and to do, to, yeah, that's what I need to do. And, and I love the idea, when we first started, when the Jesus sisters first began to meet, we wanted to have a conference. And we knew we wanted to have a conference and just get all the women together and see what you all had in the way of skills and abilities. Because there is no women on the face of the earth who have been, who are better educated, more skilled, with the most discretionary time of any women ever on the place of the earth, on the planet at any time. And so we have a great opportunity here. And we just wanted to see what there was in us. And so to have something where we just come together and bring what we have, bring our skills, you know, show if you've got artwork that you've done, if there's music that you can play, if there's music that you want to sing, and let the Spirit move in that in a very free form sort of way, at least occasionally. We can have these sessions are really great because we do need teaching and instruction. But just to see what's inside of us and let it come out, like Paul talked about in Corinthians, that if a woman has a word to bring, let her bring it, a prophecy, a song, anything, you know, a tongue, whatever, you know, to let that have the freedom to move. And so I think we will see amazing things.
My assignment is to do what's in front of me. And part of that, like Muriel said, is my family, my husband, my grandchildren, and my children. And part of that is, even if it's small, doing what the Lord has gifted me with, and just keeping on where I am, not trying to make it go big before it needs to go big. Well, the birds spoke to me. The story of Nehemiah spoke to me. Do what's in front of you. So much. I'm still processing what. And if we did another event, I really like what Muriel said about, you know, I would love to have more teaching on the birds. I would love to have more teaching on the intercession and the deep praying. I am so hungry to pray deeply with other people. Just so hungry. But to hear what you all have learned and are doing also, that would be really cool.
My assignment is to stand up for those who can't stand up for themselves. And I'm pretty passionate about health freedom and health freedom choices. And so
a bunch of ladies spontaneously got together this week over in Kansas, and we're going to be marching the Capitol in Kansas for children 5 to 10 or 5 to 12 that can't speak for themselves, and we're going to hopefully turn the tide of the legislature to vote against inoculating children. So, and that would be inoculating children for the COVID jab. And I feel very passionate about that because, well, we all know. I mean, if you've done any kind of research, you know that it's not real healthy for kids. And the other thing I'm looking forward to doing is prayer walking in my neighborhood. I'm already walking, but I need to prayer walk, so that's going to add another deal. And building a turquoise table. I love that idea. What spoke to me the most was the Nehemiah story. I've loved that as well. And being multitasking, you know, being planning my future, planning what is, you know, the things that are ahead of me to do. I'm going to be looking into doing some therapy work with kids and parents. Have my licensure in Kansas. So that's, yeah, okay. I'm kind of mixing them up, aren't I? and then the other thing is that what I'd like to see for the next meeting, I love the idea of having a spontaneous, you know, praise and prayer session and just see what we all have, you know, what we can do. But the one of the biggest things I'd love to hear is out of what we have done this weekend, I want to hear testimonies. I want to hear what we've done and how it's all happened and what, you know, the things that have manifested in our lives and some of the words that were given and have they come to fruition and what is, you know, what has God really spoken to your heart? So that's what I'm excited about.
My assignment. Right now, I began working on in September under Team Jesus is to find restaurants in the Independence area who will no longer be throwing out their leftovers at the end of the evening, but will be contributing them to a collection system where they can be then redistributed to homeless individuals. Seems like I'm usually the one who's praying for somebody else, so it was really good for me, for Rhonda to pray for me. That really touched me, and I appreciate the Holy Spirit supporting me today in that. And I had a particular thing in mind about, well, the next meeting, if there was going to be a next meeting, and maybe it's kind of out there compared to what some other folks have said, but I wanted for us to be able, those who were interested or who participate in Jesus Lifts, to perhaps have a fundraiser to be able to do some things the next time that we were not able to do this time. And I am sure that either funds could be held through your nonprofit or through Team Jesus for that, since Jesus Lifts is not a 501c3 in and of itself. But I'm sure that Pastor C or hopefully, whoever sees fit to do that would consider that so that we may be able to have some convenience and amenities and support for our professional video person that we were not able to have this time around.
It's been quite a while since I've lived here now from Britain, 28 years, coming up on 29. And I have been constantly attacked since I've been here. And it was revealed to me that the devil wanted my soul, he wanted my marriage, and he wanted me back in Britain. So I have struggled for a long time. And in and out of that struggle, I have tried to have multiple assignments, to have purpose, to be somebody. And people in this room who know me, I can put you in a spin real quick. Robin has left, but she often would say to me, you put me in a spin just looking at you because you're so busy and you're always doing. But I have to let go in the Lord. So my assignment is to be still. And even though I have struggled and struggled and struggled to find the assignment for this weekend, and I can go to my health and wellness and my weight management and all the stuff that I can do out there helping people to make whatever it is, those gifts that are mine, they're of the Lord and they will be used at some time. But right now and for a long time, I have been commanded to be still.
It's so good.
So any one of you see me getting off track, please. Lord, that's why I wrote it down. The Lord told you to be still and know that He is God.
Amen.
And in that stillness, I will be healed, I know, from all the persecution, from all the pain. And He can't lift me up to that other realm where I can work more for Him and get busy maybe until I learn to be still. And that, to me, was a derogatory statement in some ways because it meant that I wouldn't be actionable for others. But I have to be actionable for me right now, and I have to learn to be still. So what spoke to me more than anything, because of my persecution and because of my sacrifices that I made to be here, and I did those willingly to leave my family and come here to another country because I felt that's where the Lord was telling me to come, was the enmity. It's not all those people that have persecuted me and hurt me, but I've allowed them to control my life and to make me upset and make me sick when the Lord is the ultimate physician, and that's where I should have been focusing. Not on the persecutions and all the things that I felt like these people were doing to me. I should have been letting that go and giving it to the Lord and letting Him have that in the peace that He's telling me to have by being still. So looking at Eve and the enmity and that really spoke to me. Because we know where the adversary is. He's not necessarily in those people. They've just allowed themselves to be vessels for that. And we have to look beyond that. Love them anyway.
Yep.
Heap coals on their heads. They bless them.
Right.
And that is hard to do
you
sometimes.
It,
so that, I mean, I really wanted an assignment. I really wanted something that would serve my community. But no.
No.
The Lord is saying,
girl.
No, don't
watch
do
what
that.
In you in 90 days.
Yeah, I don't want to wait 90 days, and that's
no,
the next part.
Watch what happens in you in
90 days.
What's transforming in you in
this.
Days. What's transforming in you, the revelation you've gotten this weekend. You've gotten a multifaceted revelation, and
yes.
You realize it's all connected, right?
Yeah.
In 90 days, look at me, you're going to be a different woman.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen.
That in 90 days,
yes.
He will not recognize you. Because
have
you
to declare it, right.
Out of works. Look at me.
Mm-hmm.
You will not be living out of works. You'll be living out of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
90 days.
And like I say, that was my last part. I don't, what's next? I don't want to wait 90 days. So if anybody wants to be a buddy and hold me accountable to that being still, please. Please do that for me, because we're in this together. We have to encourage each other. We have to have buddies. Don't wait. Let's not wait 90 days. Oh, for another event, I would like to see what some of the other sisters said, that we just come and be. And I think sometimes we come, like you say, with our, was it supplication, our begging, our needs, our agenda, and just to sit and let the Lord put on our hearts who He wants us to pray for. Where the intercession needs to be, because sometimes it's we're doing the intercession, maybe standing in the gap for someone, but there are other people, and the Lord can't find the intercessors to stand in the gap. He's to and fro in the whole world looking for the people that be willing to come forward and pray for those people that desperately need his help. And he wants to be released to those people. And yes, he might be in control and he's all powerful, but we have agency and we have to release that. And we have to, yeah, he does. So that he can partner with us to heal people in other countries. I could tell a story, but it would take way too long. But it is on a CD that I listen to regularly, and I don't understand a lot of it. So when I'm traveling, I have to keep putting it in the car and keep listening to it to understand, because it's not traditional. It's not what I was taught when I was raised up. I mean, I was taught up, raised up in the Lord, of course, but these are things that are so different and so necessary today when we have people stuck in other countries that can't get home. The Lord needs us to intercede for those people. We don't know who they are. The Lord knows who they are. So I want us to be calm next time and quiet and sit and just wait for the Lord to put those people. He might even bring us names of groups and pray for those people so his power can be released. Amen.
This gathering has exceeded my expectations. I think it's been a very, very, very good start, but that's exactly what it is. It's a start. And I think what we do from now on is going to be very important. And I don't know, I'm not going to answer your questions. I'm going to pose another one. If you don't like it, you can say so. I think to wait until January, probably in the world we're living in, and everybody's so busy, that probably January is about as soon as we can arrange it. However, I don't think we should just drop it, and we don't do anything with any of you. I don't do anything with any of you until January. I won't remember who you are. I won't remember what your talents are. And we'll have to start all over again. So I don't know. I don't know how you feel about that. I don't text. I don't do email. I don't do any of that stuff. I come on Thursday nights. All right. That would be fantastic. That would be fantastic. But everybody can't do that. There are telephones. I know it's old-fashioned. But that's where I'm coming from. Would we want to do any kind of a formal buddy system? That maybe I check with two or three of you, once a week. I don't call you every day. And I'm going to text you 5,000 times in 24 hours. Which is what we do, I understand. I don't know, I'm not there, but I understand that from my friends. And it's overwhelming. But I just think that we're all hyped up now. We've had a wonderful experience. The Lord has been here. We felt the Holy Spirit. We felt his direction. We want more, we want more, we want more. But we'll go home. And next week, we'll have this to do and that to do and this to do and this happens and that. Oh, I wasn't expecting that. And it's all gone. Or not all, but it's diminished. We cannot stay on this high in real life. So, can we support each other in this? I don't know. What do you think?
Yes. I mean, my thought is just, if someone here has just touched you, and there's just something about them that you feel kindred to, just ask for their phone number. And remember, we talked about he who has friends is friendly. Well, this is a very good first step. Ask them for their phone number and just text them and stay in contact with them. And people that you really minister to your heart or really touch your heart, go out for lunch or grab coffee together. We know that we have a consistent meeting on Thursday nights. I know I'm coming once a month. Maybe we could even plan on the weeks that I'm there, maybe, or the month or the weeks I'm there, that we take a time and we do prayer meetings and testimonies.
Yeah, and we do kind of what we're talking about doing in January, just on a smaller scale. Or what's going to happen is you start to implement what you're learning. You're going to hit, it's not going to work sometimes. You're going to hit roadblocks because the enemy brings those to you to go, oh, see, that didn't work. See that principle, that's not God. Okay, you're going to run into those things as you start to apply the word. And sometimes you just need people to remind you, like, oh, yeah. It's like I told Meryl the other day. They had a miracle with a situation in their neighborhood. And they had a miracle. And the very day that they were testifying about that miracle, things began to happen that it looked like that miracle wasn't going to come about. And so she called me and I said, well, the enemy is just flexing his muscles. Like, do you realize that he's just trying to make you afraid? You partner with heaven for God's agenda in your neighborhood. That's your only responsibility. Your responsibility is not the outcome. Your responsibility is to partner with heaven for its agenda and to do what God's asking you to do to see it manifest on the earth, right? So those are some practical things that we could do. So you find someone that's ministered to your heart and you say, hey, you've touched me. I really have just felt a kindred spirit with you. Get their phone number. You know, reach out to them. Try to, go to coffee, go to lunch, just get to know them and just be friendly and build those relationships and see where that goes. So that's the only thing I know to do. And then we are going to be emailing everybody. Everybody gave their email and you came in. All of the notes in stuff we never even had time to get to. We're going to be emailing all of that to you guys. All the forms, all that stuff that you guys can fill out and you can go deeper. That we're going to have a list of questions of things for you to dialogue with the Holy Spirit about. So that way you can go deeper in things. It's too much for this weekend. But we're going to send you a lot of resources that during this 90-day period you can set aside before the Lord and go deep in a dialogue with the Holy Spirit. On how can you execute and apply what you've learned. Okay, remember, application is key. It does no benefit if you learn volumes and don't apply it. Apply what you're learning.
Well, I really don't know what my assignment is. I mean, I've been led in different directions, but I know that I need to do more. So that's one reason why the Lord led me here today, to figure out just and make me more intentional about figuring out like what's my pathway, because once I stopped babysitting my 5-year-old granddaughter, she just turned 5, now I have more free time and I'm not stressed out, and I need to concentrate on that because it's important to me and I need to have the Holy Spirit work in my life for what I'm meant to do for the Lord. And the birds spoke to me too. I mean, the power of prayer. And I like the intercession part because I really believe that God can do anything. And if we command it or ask it in his name, if it's part of his plan, he'll do it. You know, I really believe that. And I like the learning, and I like the mingling with other women of faith. You know, so I like that part of it, and I'd like to become part of the community.
Awesome. Here I am again. Still, yes, yet. Oh, there, I'm sure that's true. Yes. Well, anyway, my assignment, I think I know it. I know some of it. I am to take the learning and the wisdom that God has given me, and I'm to share it with anybody that will listen. I am to plant seeds and let the Lord take care of it from then on. I don't need to call and check, are you doing it? Have you done it? Will you do it? No. Wherever we go, all of us, people watch us. You are planting seeds, whether you know it or not. And sometimes they're good and sometimes they're not. And that's kind of scary, but it's also kind of wonderful because I'm watching all of you too.
and you're watching, we're all watching each other. If we can be true to the Lord, that will show. And people will want what we have. But we have to make sure that we're doing the best we can to keep in touch with the Holy Ghost and ask the Lord. Ask him. He wants to help us. He wants to encourage us, and he wants us to be happy, and he wants us to be joyful, and he doesn't want us to be fearful, and he wants us at peace. He wants all this for us. We're his children. He loves us, and he wants all these things for us. And we say, no, too much. Don't do me. Don't bless me anymore. I've had enough blessings this week. Do you ever say that? Okay, that's enough of that. That's my assignment.
Lisa, I don't think Lisa had a chance to go.
Oh, I'm sorry. Lisa didn't? Okay.
Why are you?
Yeah. And one more thing. Another meeting, I think we've already talked about, I think letting the Holy Spirit lead us would be fine. There could be some, perhaps, more teaching, more instruction, but minimal, with the accent or the emphasis more on people sharing and telling what we have done. Because if it doesn't set with you, it doesn't resonate with you, it's not going to work. So I'm through.
You sure?
Yep. Positive. Oh, by the way, one more thing. One more thing.
I like hearing Marilyn talk. I've enjoyed hearing all of you talk. It's been a wonderful experience. There used to be a commercial 100 years ago that said if you don't get out much, if the dog and the cat get out more than you do, then maybe you need to get out more. And I mean, I get out. I go to Price Chopper 5 days a week, you know. But you said not to tell stories, so. I think I came here because I want to know what my assignment is. I've always felt like that God has a purpose for us and wants us to be actively engaged in good things, you know. Mainly leading people, you know, sharing with people and leading them to Jesus, because I can't help anybody. It's God that helps everybody. But I've always felt like there was a specific agenda or assignment that I needed to be busy with. And now that my kids are grown and my husband lives somewhere else, and which is fine, but I don't know. And I just feel like I need that engagement and that interaction in the relationship with all of you or whoever else God brings in my path. And where I'm not talking to you over the check stand and only have 3 minutes, you know, or whatever to share with you or to listen to what you have to say. I'm trying to stay focused, see what I'm supposed to say. I really enjoyed the birds. And I learning all of that. I mean, I'm not 89 years old. I don't know, we're Marilyn. They're okay. But I, being 58, I've learned a few things, but where I need help is the application. And I don't know what you'd call that class, but is But that application comes from us being together to make the little net to hold up each other. And there's so many neat analogies about that. Where my congregation is, and there's that, I learned the analogy of like when you build a fire and you want to cook dinner or you just want to have a campfire, you don't put the charcoal or the logs apart from each other. You have to put them together so they can keep each other hot and warm and all of that, and that they can support one another. And it's probably my own fault and my lack of application and lack of reminding myself or taking myself to church or wherever I need to go to interact with my sisters or my brothers, whoever it is that God brings into my path to help me hold my feet to the fire, as it were. I've been too far away from the fire, and I need to come back to the fire. And I need help to let God's fire come back in. And truly be filled with His Spirit. And the only way we can do that is if we're together. And I have too many words and don't know how to say them. But the other thing, as far as what would I like to see the next one, I'm not going to say if we're not going to have it, because we're going to have it. Because if we don't have it, I'm going to be calling people and I'm going to be saying, we need to do this. Because God needs us to be that team and that support for one another so that we can help Him build this kingdom, you know, bring Zion, however we want to word it, you know. We need each other, and we need God. But something that I'm sure that we've gotten out of this and other things that we've learned is that God's blessed us with gifts and talents. I think Marsha explained it or said something about it, that we have gifts and talents that God gives us because each one, and we have different ones, you know. Katie has gifts and talents, and Michelle, that's what I couldn't think of. But we all have different gifts and talents, and God brings us together so that being one, we can work together to get the assignment done, you know. And years ago, I remember going to, it was something that our church did as a group, and went downtown to, I think it was called Bill Gothard, and they taught the basic biblical fundamental things about recognizing that God gives us gifts and talents. And hopefully by the time you're 58, you know what they are, but I'm not sure anymore. But anyway, I just think it's important that we're either taught that or reminded that, and that we have that relationship. We talked about that too with the intercession or the supplication. A supplication is the I need this part, right? But it just comes down to that relationship with God, with Jesus where we recognize that he's our best friend and we can talk to him anytime. And when we have that relationship with him, then we can really get the assignment done. But we need our relationship with each other as well so that we can help each other. Because just like I could be calling you guys and saying, okay, when's the next big meeting, or is it Thursday yet, or whatever, you know, that I want to say. Somebody might need to call me and say, where have you been? And Mariel's up here, and I've used my 3 minutes, right? But thank you guys, all of you who contributed and the opportunity to meet new people and see some old friends too.
I've been wondering what to do about a certain thing I wanted to do something with, and I think I've got the answer. I know I have the answer. So I was going, when we planned this, I was going to do a drawing and give away a bunch of stuff, like books and a package of toilet paper and a bag of apples, you know, things that are useful that we need. And one of them was going to be this. And I would like to give this book to Cheryl, because you were the one who said she was going to get herself a turquoise table. So this copy is for you. Okay.
Don't you guys love Muriel? I love her so much. So we're just going to close out in prayer. Actually, I'm going to have Marcia close us out in prayer. I just appreciate you guys' time. You know, people's time is really valuable. And it just shows where you guys are at, your hunger for the Lord, your hunger to do stuff. So I just wanted to say thank you guys for that and just giving of your time. You know, we're just everyday women walking it out, you know, and what has God put in front of us today? Keep it simple. Just walk in simple obedience. And if you don't remember the acronyms, you don't remember all the scripture verses, it's okay. By the way, is anyone here saying, this subject matter of the Holy Spirit I'm intrigued by, but I have either confusion or I've had some experiences that have caused me to question who the Holy Spirit is? Does anyone meet that criteria where you feel like you just need more understanding of the person of the Holy Spirit? Who he is and who he is to you and how it's made manifest in your life? Anyone at all? Because I have a book to give you. You'll take it? Okay. This is John Bevere's book on the Holy Spirit. It's really good. He breaks it down so simple. I really love how he has taken a very complicated, misunderstood subject matter and has broken it down so simply. So we're just going to have Marcia close us out in prayer, and then we're just going to go about our day. And so you guys stand with us. Raise your hands if you feel comfortable in a posture of receiving from the Lord, and we'll go from there.
Amen. Well, I enjoy the time that I've had with you ladies, too. It's been really good. It's been really good for me. And I'm just declaring right now in Jesus' name, God, that you will just fill these women up even the more, God. Fill them up even the more, God. Just continue to speak to them right now, God. Speak to them every day, God. Speak to them through these 90 days that they'll be a part as it relates to another event. But I thank you, God, for what you're filling them up with right now, God. I thank you, God, for just filling them up, dear Father God, with your presence, God. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you, God, how it's going with us. I thank you, God, for how it's just going to be with us. I thank you, God, for what they're doing in their communities, how you're blessing their homes, God. I declare peace. I declare your goodness. I declare your continued direction. Continued direction, Jesus. Over these ladies, over their homes,
in everything that they do. I thank you right now, God. I declare protection in every area. Wisdom. Wisdom in every area, God. Let it be done. We praise your name. We glorify you and we thank you, God. Be with us as we leave this place. Amen.
Oh, 1018 strategy and any contributions?
Yeah, so some people have asked about making a donation towards these types of events for women. So what we're going to do, since Lift Sisters doesn't have its own 501c3, if you want to make a donation, there's a jar in the back. If you need to make a donation by credit card, you can do so on those cards I talked about with 1018. You can make a donation at 1018, and I will pull the cash out and give that to Mural, and we'll set it aside specifically for the women's events. Okay? So if you guys need that, because you may be like me and never carry cash. So appreciate you guys. Go be blessed.
And I'll testify of singing.